This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello. Cheers. I'm drinking, as you've already seen, spoiler, but I'm drinking probably for the first time in I don't even know how long.
You just wait till I'm back in that house and we're having our...
After work drinks has been sober since you left and we're about to get filthy, rotten and depraved.
What is so funny about... Like when you think back about our recordings last summer, when we started getting into martinis and we were just like pouring huge fucking cups of straight vodka with a bit of olive brine in it and getting so lit at like 4 p.m. on a Thursday. I'd like stumble home and have a fight with Amar because I was so drunk like every week. He would just be like, God, here we go again.
There's a section of time where I really don't know what was said on the podcast. And there's so many times where, like, I think we didn't say something on the podcast that I then find out that we did.
I then find out through
loudly
sources.
And proudly.
I know. My friend last night was just like, the trick is never put, we're so shit with our show notes anyway, but she was like, never put stuff in the show notes because then even if you say something that you regret saying, no one will ever be able to find it again because it will get buried. And they'll be like, when did they say that thing? And you'll have to listen through the whole archive, ladies. We're not telling.
I know. And who's got that time on their hands? We used to, and just raucous. And like the worst one I ever remember was, because people probably don't know this feeling, but there's nothing worse than being drunk and having to listen to yourself back talking about subjects in the cold, hard light of day. And I remember there was one where I was in Mallorca, you were in London. It was just before my birthday and I was red hot and ready to go. And I literally screamed over you for about 57 minutes. And I listened back to it before my birthday dinner.
Oh, no.
And I was so sad. The whole night I was like, you are a disgusting, drunken lunatic. I literally hate you. That was all I could think in my head. I could just hear myself being like, blah, blah.
Yeah, it's really hard because you have to be in a good headspace to listen back to yourself. Like sometimes I'll listen back and be like, mm-hmm. the smartest, funniest girls that ever did live. And sometimes I'll listen back and be like, I hate us. We are so annoying.
Two morons.
Yeah, and it just depends on the frame of mind I'm in. And then sometimes you just have no choice. Well, every single week you have no choice.
I think that about people who, like, we don't really ever look at reviews or anything, but...
I forgot about those.
If there is a very rare negative review, I'm like, I get it. I can see me encountering us in a certain mood on a certain day and just being like, what?
Yeah. I get it too. What? I sympathize with those girls.
That poor girl who listened once, I remember it was like one of our bad reviews, and she was like, listen to this podcast because so many of my friends told me to, and they were just talking about how they like love Jordan Peterson because one of the host dads likes him or something. It was just so funny. It had been me like defending Jordan Peterson in this like unhinged way, and she just caught us on a bad afternoon. And I was like, babe, I get it.
Oh my God, did you? I saw my little brother in New Zealand, one of the many brothers I have. And he is full conspiracy. So what's funny about it is my two little brothers don't know each other, even though they're half brothers. So we all have the same dad. There's like thousands of us. We could form a fucking rugby team. And
he's spreading his seed.
That's what my grandma said. My grandma kept going, he's spreading his seed, and then forgetting she'd said it and saying it again. And I was like, I need to be institutionalized. And then she kept, because I was like talking about my brothers and sisters, and then she would forget that had happened, but somewhere in the back of her brain would know. And would like seed. Keep bringing it up and then keep saying that. And I was like, this makes me feel so, 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 so sick. But they are both, this is a thing, they're both, so one's 26, one's 24, and they're both super conspiracy theorist vibes.
Men are in crisis, man. Men are in, masculinity is in crisis. Femininity is like blossoming and exploding and doing so well. And we need the same girl is like, I'll give this podcast a listen again.
As Jordan Peterson always says.
As my mentor, Jordan Peterson always says. But like, no, men are literally in crisis. That's why they're looking to people like Jordan Peterson, because they literally have no idea what to do. And women are rightly, or maybe wrongly, not giving them any guidance because we've had enough, but they're just floundering. Yeah. And all they have is Reddit.
What was happening was I was just feeling so stupid. And I was like, God, Isabel, why don't you look a bit deeper into things so that you can actually have a back and forth conversation about, at least you fucking know about Jordan Peterson. I was like, I know this is a bad man, but I can't tell you why. Just surface deep. And then like was literally Googling as he was talking. Because I know about him, but I wanted to have points to say back. And then my brother, this brother is so deep that he could fucking be in politics. Like he knows, there's one that's just read the surface notes like me, and he's just like anti-vax and stuff. And then this one is very deep in the universe of kind of knowing everything, mm-hmm. where I was just like, God, I don't even know what to say back to you. And he was saying stuff about how the government controls the clouds and how climate change isn't real and how the earth is like always warmed and cooled over the years and all of these different things. And I was like, well, you're younger than me. Maybe. I'm older. Yeah. I'm right. You're wrong. I'm big. You're small.
I'm the eldest girl. Yes. The cloud thing is actually really interesting because like there's this song by Kate Bush that is one of my favorite songs. It's called Cloud Busting. And I was reading about the inspo, and there was this guy in, I don't even know, 1940s, let's say. And he was trying to invent a machine that could like control the energy of cloud formations because he believed it had an impact on the way human beings behave. And he believed that, like, the World War II, like, the chaos.
Was seasonal depression.
The chaotic energy was, like, something to do
it
with cloud behavior.
It will be fucking seasonal depression. They all live in Europe.
The FBI arrested him and, like, burnt all of his work and, like, threw him in jail. And, like, there's so many conspiracy theories about him because they're like, what did he know that the government needed to
My
hide?
Brother, also named it. Jordan,
yeah.
will know about this. We should get him on the pod.
I want to hear. I want to hear.
And then
all
he was talking about how he's gone vegan.
Platform Jordan.
Yeah. Platform the Jordans. And then he was saying he's gone vegan. And I was like, why? And he was just like, oh, I don't want the trauma from the animals, from their lives in my body. And I was like, I love that. I agree.
I love that too. I have actually been thinking about being vegetarian again. It just goes in waves. You know, I've had 10 years off and might be ready to hop on again.
Yeah, I Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. What I was going to say. I tried turkey yesterday. It made me feel so sick and I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was just trying to...
Turkey's not okay.
No, but everyone in America eats it like it's normal. Everyone eats it like it's chicken. And at Erewhon, they have this turkey wrap, which I wanted if it was chicken. And then my friend had been like, it's like chicken, it's like chicken. And then I bought it and it was obviously $15. So then I was just like, you have to eat this now. You must eat it. And I felt so sad.
Even this, like, what even is a turkey?
Just a bigger bird, but
a large bird.
Okay, must get into it. First things first. Saw The Little Mermaid. Loved it.
Oh my God, I'm so jealous. I cannot wait
loved
to see it.
Loved every second of it. Was in the cinema smiling from ear to ear. And then when I got out, so I went with a group of girls. And then when I got out, I was like, wait, I need to know if the others liked this or if I'm just embarrassing. But the consensus was we all loved it. And what's his face? Fucking Hottie McHot. What's his name? Ariel's dad.
Hunter. Yes.
What's his name?
Mr. Penelope Cruz. Javier Bardem.
Yeah, fuck, he's hot.
Is he hot as a mermaid?
Is that Penelope Cruz's husband?
Yeah, they're like the sexiest couple literally in the history of the world.
I didn't know that.
And they met when they were really young, like in the 90s and really hot and in some sort of Spanish movie together.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. Halle Bailey is amazing as Ariel. Melissa McCarthy is Ursula.
Love. How does she go with the singing? She doesn't strike me as like quite camp enough.
She was being camp. There. She was good. Awkwafina was the bird, Scuttle. She was great. Simone Ashley, a little Bridgerton reference, was one of the mermaids.
Speaking my language, she was the mermaid.
We can go see it again in London.
My only problem was that they made the cute little fish friend so random looking.
Flounder.
Yeah. You know how he was so cute in the animated one?
Yeah, I can't really remember. Who was your favorite Disney? What was your favorite Disney princess / movie?
Really loved the Disney movies, as we all did. I loved Princess Jasmine the most because I thought she was the prettiest. Yeah. But I also loved The Lion, like Lion King was my favorite. And I loved Little Mermaid too.
There's a man outside the window.
Is he meant to be there?
Gardening. Fuck it. Let's just keep going. I was trying to remember, but I basically always felt... I always hated Snow White because I was always put in her camp because I had really dark hair and pale skin. So I was kind of always...
She had such a bad haircut. Like a bad bob.
I was like, I don't want to be Snow White. And then I loved Pocahontas and I loved Mulan. I think because I was a bit tomboyish, Mulan. Mulan was like my fave movie. And then I was obsessed with Pocahontas. And I used to wish that people would think I was Belle from Beauty and the Beast instead of Snow White. So I was like, my name is Belle.
Yeah. You look more like Belle than Snow White. Snow White just looks so annoying. Like, I don't like her collar. Don't like her hair. Uh-huh. Can't even remember what she did. I loved Sleeping Beauty as well. I loved that bit where all the little fairies were fighting and turning everything blue and then pink and then blue and then pink.
Yeah. I don't remember loving Sleeping Beauty. I remember liking Cinderella.
Those movies are so crazy because they're literally from like the 1950s and we all just grew up watching them.
I know. I was thinking that in the cinema. I was like, we need more brilliant stories like this. This Little Mermaid.
So it was good. Like it was a worthy... Because a lot of them haven't been that great, the live... action ones.
I thought it was really good.
Exciting. I have a unpleasant story to tell you to counter your fun trip to the movies, which is that I yesterday had to go. So I found like a lump in my right boob.
Oh my God.
And we don't have any history of breast cancer in the family or anything, so I wasn't really worried about it. But Zach is quite on the ball with medical stuff. So I like went to the doctor and went to get a scan. And I went yesterday and I can't remember what it's called, what I have. It's like for fibrodermia or something. It's like a little rock hard like ball in my boob. It's super random. But I had to have a biopsy, which they hadn't warned me for. And it was so harrowing and awful.
What does that mean?
I didn't know what it meant either, but basically they just have to extract some tissue out of you. So the lady did like an x-ray and she was like, okay, I can see what it is. We need to do a biopsy on you. I'm just going to inject you with local anesthetic. And I was like, yeah, now.
Yeah, what?
What's happening? And she injected it and then basically they go in with like a knife. They slice in and go in and they have to get shit out. It was really yesterday. Horrible. And my whole boob yesterday at 9:30 in the morning and I was in my little leggings and there was people outside and I was just so traumatized afterwards. But the reason I bring it up is because the nurses or the radiologist assistant just stood next to me and she got a piece of gauze on her hand and she was just rubbing my arm like in a really nice way for the whole time. And she just kept saying, you're doing so good. You're doing so well. And I just thought, I love women so much.
That's very sweet. And it's also a reminder for us all to get our boobs checked seriously. Yeah.
Checked.
A very close friend of mine's mum just got diagnosed with breast cancer and And it was such a reminder to me because I was like, how did she find out? And then she was just like, just a routine. What's it called? Mammogram.
Yes, mammogram.
I feel like I haven't had mine checked in a while. We all need to go and get our boobs checked. But when I touch my boobs,
yeah,
it feels like there's like boobs just don't. I guess they do when you go straight on. They don't feel lumpy, but like on the side, it feels like there's just tissue and stuff in there, right? I don't know how you know what a lump is.
Yeah, there's stuff in there. And I have really small boobs, which is why I think I noticed.
Mine feels like it has
quite a big difference.
Big lump in it, but I think it's just tissue. So confusing.
Yeah, it's very important. But it just makes like such a difference when you have female doctors. I don't know what to say. They just get it. They're natural caretakers.
Yeah. And we need to remember that we know how we're feeling better than anyone else. So if people try and tell you that it's not a thing and you're okay and to go home. Someone else was telling me, there's been so many scary stories recently of like illnesses and stuff. Like my friend got really, really, really sick when she got back from Bali and got like an autoimmune disease and is now, and her thyroid stopped working, which I didn't even know about. Your thyroid, it's here. Did you know that? It's in your neck.
Did you think it was in your thigh?
Yeah.
Yeah, why did I think that for so long
as
well?
It's in your neck.
It's in your throat.
I said that to my friend and she was like, I knew it was somewhere, but not in your neck. And I was like, yeah, obviously same. I knew it was somewhere.
Because that's why people started, that was like a bit of a trend a while ago when celebrities would drop weight, suddenly they'd always say they had a thyroid condition because it affects being able to eat.
Oh.
But your friends obviously genuinely terribly got it.
If your thyroid stops working, it's very serious. Like very, very serious. Mm. We have to look after our thyroids.
We have to look after ourselves. We're just getting older. I'm just like, things just happen now. It's crazy.
I hate it.
I have to care for this body, this poor beleaguered body. My back hurts if I don't like stand up every day. I was like, my back just regularly kind of hurts now. And that's just it for
me. Yeah, someone was telling me about, they were saying they go to this, because my friend in Sydney who got this autoimmune disease, she started seeing this guy there who she calls the wizard, who sounds like fucking incredible. And basically he's like a mixture of kind of like a chiropractor, does acupuncture stuff, just like touches your body in different places and can tell what's going on with you and what's wrong with you. So like he'll touch your shoulder and kind of like press it down and then the tension in your head, you know, like that kind of vibe, like he'll touch your feet to help your back kind of thing. Mm. But then she said that the way he, when he examines your body, the stuff he can tell about what you're going through in your mind is so wild. And it's just, it's like the body keeps the score, but in real life. So he'll kind of, he literally will like touch her shoulder and just be like, you're holding on to stress about something that happened in your childhood, like around this age, what happened around this age. And she actually, she said her mum, it was when her mum got diagnosed with cancer and didn't tell her and things like that.
Wow. Where is
he's in
wizard?
Sydney, and I was trying to get into him when I was there for the week. I kept calling his office every morning, but he was booked up.
Mm.
But my friend also sees someone similar in LA. I think there's just people around who do that kind of work. And I think that this guy, I think, is called a chiropractor in LA predominantly. But she said he does the same shit. And because I never go and see those kinds of people, because I'm like, I thought you didn't go see them until you had, yeah, like an aching lower back, and then you'd go for them to heal that. And my friend was like, no, you can just go and get like a full body scan. And she said that he will know that her liver is being overworked currently and stuff like that. It's crazy. Mm.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think what's sad about that stuff is that it's just, I'm assuming, because I just know from similar stuff that I've tried to do here, it's often like so prohibitively expensive. And I think it's so sad that there are these people now that have like a way more holistic view about health and wellness and like a preventative approach to your body, but you have to have like the access and the means to do it regularly.
Well, exactly. It's like she was just like, you can just go and get a full body scan. And I was like, how much is that? I didn't even ask, but it's probably what, like 200 and something US dollars to just.
Yeah. And he'll be like, come once a week. And it's like, if you go once a week, you probably do feel fucking amazing. Or like when I went to the naturopath, everything she said, I cried in the naturopath's office because everything she said about me was so insanely spot on. And then she gave me these herbs and tonics and things. And she was like, you need to come back here once a fortnight for the first 6 months. And then once a blah, blah, blah. And take all these herbs and take all this stuff. But I remember it cost like $700. And I would have had to have spent that. And I so desperately would love to. And it sucks because it's also the healthcare system's overloaded. We don't have a preventative approach to health.
Even with my therapist, I've started seeing a new therapist in LA and she's incredible. And she was saying last week, she, at the end of the session, she like checked in and was just like, is this, you know, how do you feel? Is this okay? And then she was just like, you know, let me know if you want to do 2 times a week instead of once a week, because opening yourself up and becoming really vulnerable and then having to shut yourself down for another week and then a week later, open yourself up again. She was like, it is exhausting. And I actually felt super exhausted after last week's session. Like I felt really vulnerable for like 3 or 4 days. And so I was speaking to my boyfriend being like, she did suggest this. But I was like, I literally can't afford it. And then yesterday we were chatting and she was like, you know, did you want to do that? And I was just like, yes, but I can't afford it. And that would help my mental health so much. And it's so unfair.
Yeah. It sucks.
So, yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Speaking of someone who can afford it, Beyonce.
Yes. So someone called us out on Instagram and I responded saying, I agree. They said, I cannot believe you haven't talked about Beyonce's tour. We've given Taylor Swift and her bloody Eras tour far too much airtime. Renaissance hasn't had any at all. So Beyonce's tour kicked off a couple of weeks ago. It is now very rightfully so all over my TikTok. I don't know where to begin. Should we begin with her outfits?
Yes, very good outfits. The thing with Beyonce is always been iconic, hasn't been as much of a fashion girly, like has always had great costumes and great looks, but hasn't been super tapped into what's trendy at that moment in the same way as, say, a Rihanna has. And I remember seeing the Loewe hands look and I was like, damn, she's pushing the boat out for this tour. Yes,
the Loewe hands look is fucking sick. So it's a full bodysuit, so like shimmering gold, and then it has the hands across her whole body. And I love the, I love that, I don't love it as a look, but I love that she is dressed as a bee. It's just so on the nose.
I can feel, so Shiona Cherini has styled it, and I think Julia Sargent-Moir has like assisted or helped.
Who's that chick from, and I can just British feel, Vogue? She also put something.
Yeah, that's her, I think.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think it's her. Crazy. I can feel spiritually from the images that have been shared that the bee was not their idea and that Beyonce insisted on it and they said fine.
That is the thing we should put on the record with people who style celebrities. Is these celebrities, unfortunately, have minds of their goddamn own. Sometimes they will listen to you and they will look so sick and like the best they've ever looked. And other times they will have an idea and they will go for it. And you will feel very sad because people will think it's you.
And they have pea brains of their own. And they have yes men around them. And Beyonce would have been like,
I'm going to be a nuclear bee. My fans are called the Beehive, and everyone would be like, we get it.
And the stylist would have bought all the looks and should have gone through them and been like, great. And she'd be like, where's the bee? We've talked about this.
What do I have to do around here to get the bee suit?
Off-White by Ib Kamara was the red.
Mm-hmm.
Very good as well. Just excellent start to finish.
Yeah, Yeah, it's funny because when you see someone like Taylor, I don't know, it's funny with Beyonce because she feels so like, what is it? It's funny seeing her perform in a similar way, even though she is a pop star, to someone like Taylor Swift, because I see her as being so grown and so above us all. To even see her like dancing on stage in a shimmering outfit is great, but I don't know. It's like weird to see her. It's kind of like Rihanna. It feels weird to see them like putting in effort for stuff because I'm just like, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do anything anymore, but I love it.
I think as well we talked about the Taylor Swift more because it was surprising that it took over our feeds in that way. You know what I mean? Because it's really, these are the first huge stadium tours since TikTok started. And Taylor Swift's happened to happen like a month or so before. But it's like, it makes sense that there's this whole new way of experiencing these tours now where like they're happening to hundreds of thousands, eventually millions of people, but millions upon millions are also experiencing them from every angle, every night through TikTok. Like, I feel like I've basically seen both concerts in their entirety at this point.
And also with Taylor Swift, I think the reason we were talking about it was because it was more the fans that I was seeing that were being fucking batshit crazy. Like, I was just seeing people, I was seeing thousands and thousands of people who couldn't get tickets to her shows camping outside and singing outside the concert as if it was its own concert. I'm seeing so many people get proposed to during Love Story. I'm seeing just people, which I think is so depraved. I think maybe I've talked about this on the podcast before because I can't get it out of my brain. Someone printed out photos of Taylor Swift's dead grandma. And passed them around the crowd. And as she was singing, all of these people in the crowd held up photos of her dead grandma, Grace. And she has to pretend that that's like
her cute control and normal. To be like, ah.
Oh, and then people at Beyonce's are holding up signs for how many concerts of hers they've been to, and someone held up a sign and said 24.
How rich is that person? Beyonce has less of a poker face, which I like. Like, did you see that footage of the person singing next to her, like screeching at the top of his lungs, and she just looked at him like, shut up.
Yeah, Beyonce's like, I don't want any of this bullshit. Taylor Swift's really good at pretending that she is one of the girlies.
Blue Ivy.
So
Blue Ivy is too big for my liking. She's 11. When and how?
I know. I remember working at the Bazaar office when Beyonce announced she was, I was like on the morning shift or something, when Beyonce announced she was pregnant with the twins insane photo shoot she did. And they were like, get it up! And I was like, oh my God.
Those were the fucking days, a simpler time. I think I was on that shift the morning of the Kylie Jenner video, and it literally broke my spirit. Yeah. I think that's what ultimately pushed me out of media.
So Blue Ivy came out on stage in Paris. The Paris show looked sick. I don't know, it just looked so good. It was like everybody who's anybody was at that show. And yeah, Blue Ivy comes out, does a dance. She looked very unbothered and a bit stiff, if I'm going to be honest. As in incredible, but I think she was just focusing a little stiff.
Yeah, a little stiff.
But on my TikTok, I realized that at one point in that Paris show, she does her dance and then she turns and it looks like she's looking to see where Beyonce is. And then you realize, because she just did it, she just came out on stage in London again, you realize Beyonce forgot a move and left before she fist bumped Blue Ivy. So Blue Ivy turns around to fist bump her and she's gone. And then she just, like, carried on. She, like, barely missed a beat. And then in London, you realize Beyonce forgot.
I was kind of thinking about, because Beyonce is, I hate the phrase, the GOAT, but, like, she is, like, that. She's, like, the greatest performer living at the moment, right, in terms of the meticulousness and attention to detail. And I was thinking about why. There is something so endearing about her getting Blue Ivy out, because it has the feeling of Blue Ivy just really wanted to do it. So she's put her in there, as opposed to the feeling of stage mom trying to force her into something that she doesn't want to do, if that makes sense. It feels like dancing is her passion and she's got this really natural, amazing rhythm to it, but she's fucking 11 and she's still figuring it out. And they've obviously created choreo and done it in this way for her to be able to get to do that on stage. And I think it's a really nice... It doesn't feel like a PR strategy move. It feels like just a nice thing that she's doing in a very authentic, non-rigid, non-typically Beyonce way.
Yeah, it's so cute. Seeing her smile when Blue... I was just watching this one video and Blue was dancing and then she finished dancing and she put her hands up into like a love heart at the crowd of like 70,000 people or something. It'd be so weird to be a celebrity kid of that magnitude and then to be 11 and for that many people to just not phase you, because you'd be so used to it.
She has such like natural movement. It's very cool.
Yeah. It's quite insane that that's her parents. I know Jay-Z's a bit embarrassing, but there was a time.
He was really cute when he was... I saw a video of him cheering. This is what's a very weird thing about these concerts, is you've seen... Someone has captured some moment. Like, you've seen the moment Jay-Z cheers at Blue Ivy when she comes out on stage, and you've seen the moment that Blue Ivy turned to fist. But, like, you know, we just know too much. We have too much information.
I know. I saw Bradley Cooper singing along to Lover, and I was like, I don't need to see this.
I could do without it.
But, yeah, I need to get tickets for the LA one.
So... Taylor Swift's doing America and Beyonce's doing Europe, and they'll probably switch. Is that...
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, Beyonce's here, I think, end of August. She's doing LA and I need to go. She's in London playing this weekend and I have friends going. Very, very sad.
Yeah.
T-Swift. Onto a T-Swift segue.
Maddie Healy is just like the name and face that won't leave me be, won't let me be, have peace.
Yeah, so I already put on the doc a bunch of stuff about him because Taylor Swift did the Karma remix with Ice Spice, which then prompted everyone to bring up again, or just, I hadn't heard any of this stuff, but that Matt Healy had gone on that Friedland podcast. And they were like talking shit about Ice Spice and being racist and talking about her like body and just being foul. And I think fans of Taylor Swift kind of already knew that had happened. And I didn't realize people had already started a petition to get her to dump him. And then do you think Taylor Swift genuinely collaborated on Karma with Ice Spice because of this? Because I'm just like, that put everything back into the public conscious. I'm just like, if you hadn't done that, people would have maybe forgotten that happened.
I think these things happen so far in advance. Like if she's on tour and they've shot a music video together, I think that all must have happened months and months ago. So I don't think so. I think it's just awkward timing. But she seems very like unbothered by the whole thing, which I find kind of interesting. Like she's going to no kind of length to distance herself from Maddie Healy, or like they were photographed kissing the other day. You know what I mean? I think she's just, and we know she's hyper aware of what people are saying about her and TikTok rhetoric and what people think. So it's kind of interesting. This whole thing's interesting from that angle. She's kind of quite consciously putting the relationship in people's faces.
Yeah, I agree. It's just a really weird person for her to come out as publicly. I don't know, because it just, the time frame of it feels so random, unless her and Joe Alwyn broke up ages ago and we didn't know. That's kind of the only way any of this makes sense. But then I'm still like, it was obviously still messy enough for everyone to unfollow him like 2 months ago. And it's like, if you'd already moved on with this guy, the whole thing just feels really random to like rush it forward when he is such a kind of divisive figure. So then over the weekend, Gia Tolentino did a piece for New York Magazine called Who is Matt Healy? And I was like, oh, okay, she must have done this in the past couple of weeks. And then you see that she's been doing this profile since January.
And it's like, why? Like, what is... I remember we talked about this guy months and months ago before he had any connection with Taylor Swift. And I remember going in and cutting it from the final episode because we were kind of just like, well, who's this guy? Would you be... Like, I was just like... Why are we even talking about him? We just like didn't really say anything, and it was just so random that we'd both been made aware of him at the same time. And he just keeps rearing his little head again and again, where we find ourselves having to circle back to him because, yeah, Gia Tolentino is writing profiles on him, and I just don't really understand it, except for the fact that I think there's something about him and his energy and the way that he speaks that's a bit of a, like a Rorschach test for how people on the internet feel about quote unquote problematic people. You know what I mean? Like with the Taylor Swift fandom, there are people who are literally saying, I can't remember what the hashtag is, but there's like a trending hashtag saying that Taylor Swift has to speak out about it and has to publicly distance herself from him and has to, the signing the petition that he has to break up with him and finding it, like there's even girls showing up to shows with sign saying, I bought tickets to this show before I found out that Taylor Swift was dating Maddie Healy and I would like to distance myself from his red. You know, like there's the kind of quote unquote chronically online people that think that there's no way to exist liking Taylor Swift and her being connected with him. And then there's the people who say that that's parasocial and insane and who think that that's parasocial and insane and like Swifties have gone nuts and it's up to her, whatever she wants to do. It's just a weird, it's like dividing people, I think. Their reaction to this is dividing people on the internet and how they feel about people that say controversial shit, basically.
Ha! The boy from in the cupboard under the stairs.
You're literally in a pitch black room, and you're the closer you come to the screen.
Not in a room, Grace.
It's like cupboard.
I'm in a cupboard. Okay, so girls, I just had to move because for some known fucking reason, this is so America, every single house and like apartment has a gardener that comes once a week. So at my apartment every single week there's gardeners that come and like prune and tidy everything up, and they're here now and there's like chainsaws going and fucking lawn mowers and like 400 men outside the window. So now, coming to you live from the cupboard,
all I can see is your teeth
in the pitch black.
Pitch black. It's such a cursed morning for you, talking about Maddie Healy in a pitch black cupboard.
I know. There is no other way to talk about that, man. I understand where her fans are coming from when they say that they hate that she, where they say they can't handle that she dates someone like that. I do get it. It's kind of says a lot about who you are, who you choose to date. And he's someone who, if not outwardly said racist stuff about Ice Spice, he laughed along to people doing so. He also, in his song about, what was he saying about Kanye? He said something about Kanye in a song and literally did the Nazi salute. It's like that sort of stuff you can brush off for not being like, I don't know, a big deal, but it is. It's literally, he goes, "Thank you, Kanye, very cool," and did like a Nazi salute on stage. And it's like that sort of stuff, that sort of kind of stuff where you're laughing along to someone saying kind of racist stuff, and like it is just like at the end of the day quite, I don't want to be like dangerous rhetoric or whatever, but it's just, it's not cool. You can't like just say it's not that.
Yeah, I think so. That Kanye thing, I saw an interview of him talking about that, and it's, I think I'm a bit hindered in this conversation because I have so little context on him. Like, I'm not across the 1975. I'm not across his public persona. Everything that I'm learning in drips and drabs now, and I'm trying to like get across it. For example, that "Thank you, Kanye, very cool" thing. That's a Donald Trump tweet that he has this 1975 song where he reads out different Donald Trump tweets, but he still did the Nazi salute thing and he was trying to be like ironic or whatever. The Ice Spice thing is just fucked, like with full context is fucked. I think what reading the Gia Tolentino profile, he talks about, he's engaging with this like ironic post-woke New York scene. So Adam Freeland hosted this podcast called Come Town, and this kind of sister podcast that Red Scare were very post-Trump, kind of supposedly ironic, intentionally inflammatory, controversial podcasts that were meant to make fun of how woke the left had gotten. And it was cool, hot people that lived in Dime Square in New York. And the idea was to be intentionally provocative. And when you're being provocative, you're doing it in this ironic way, so you don't actually mean to be racist or homophobic or whatever. And I think the fact that he clearly engages with that and thinks it's very cool and thinks that by listening to that and being across that stuff, he gets something that the dumb snowflakes on the internet don't get, that I just find that just highly embarrassing from like a 35-year-old man.
Yeah, me too.
And I think with what you're saying with the Ice Spice stuff, like you're 100% right. Like him getting on there and giggling along to that podcast and then his justification being, oh, people just don't get it. People just don't get it. I get it in this way that other people don't, is just quite a basic opinion in this day and age.
Yeah, I think he's like one of those people that it feels to me like he kind of just came across this stuff. Well, it all kind of started when, do you know that it all started, like his kind of post-woke alt-right stuff started when in 2020 he was condemning Black Lives Matter and the murder of George Floyd on Twitter, and he, like, earnestly, and then he put a link to a 1975 song, which is all about police brutality, the lyrics are, but people took that as him doing self-promotion during Black Lives Matter and during murder, and they, like, completely came for him. And so he got cancelled on Twitter for that. He deactivated his Twitter account, and then when he came back, he'd kind of just lent. It's what we're talking about with all these young men in terms of, like, them going to Jordan Peterson and stuff. It's like them getting cancelled for doing something and being earnest and whatever, and then they come back and they're like, well, fuck everyone and fuck this and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then it comes across as someone who literally went through that in 2020. That's how his behaviour seems. Like, getting I'm a man tattooed on stage and, like, I don't know. I'm just like, this is really embarrassing.
And it's the intersection of that with Taylor Swift is fucking insane. I think that's the thing that's, like, for us, we've seen this thing going on in a semi-niche way on Twitter for years. And then to see that intersect with a brand as massive as Taylor Swift's is, like, so bizarre to see. And it's so, like, it's so crazy to see this explosion of all her very earnest, very sincere fans trying to make sense of someone like him, who makes no sense unless you're aware of that context. And even then, it's just still a bit, like, jada. But I think she's just got it bad for him, I think. There's no other explanation as to why she's associating with him. She is... Dickstra.
It's so weird to me that he would want to go out with her as well.
I think she is, like, she's obviously very captivating and very beautiful and very thing, and I think a lot of what he's doing is a persona. He's trying to look cool and edgy because his band is a bit basic and embarrassing.
Yeah. I agree. I think he's just trying to be provocative, and he's trying to be provocative because he thinks being provocative is cool. Not because he even believes in any of the stuff he's saying. And then, I agree. So someone like Taylor Swift being interested in him. But it's funny because it just gives away that it's all an act, that he's now dating her.
It makes you wonder how the hell he ever got FKA Twigs. Like, that is, like, another layer of complete confusion to this whole thing. I think with him, we all look at him and we all were like, we get it. Like, this is just the guy you rebound. Like, I saw someone say this somewhere. He is the guy you rebound from your 6-year serious nearly marriage relationship with so hard. That's just, he's got that written all over him. And that's the problem. But Swiftie will write it out. Like, they're kind of calculated risks, I think. And I think she is across this stuff. And she's kind of knows it's probably not going to sink her, but it is going to, like, disappoint fans. But this has always been the thing with her. This has always been the thing I've said with her. Everything that she engages with, and ironically, I found on TikTok a snippet from an interview Maddie Healy did, like, 5 years ago, saying the exact same thing I've been saying, which she says, look, I love Taylor Swift. She's a friend of mine. I love her. But she exemplifies this very specific type of, like, cynical entertainment wokeism of tapping into political topics when they're so sanitized and so non-risky to talk about, and when everyone agrees and everyone's already on your side and you get all of the cheers and rounds of applause for being great and speaking out when there was literally no risk to your career or reputation. That's always been her thing. So it's like, her going out with him doesn't even really, people can't bring up things that she said as it directly contradicting them, because she doesn't say much. Like, she did a gay anthem 2 years ago. Like, she's so behind the curve on things that people are disappointed in her, but it's in this kind of vague way because she doesn't have receipts of shit that she's actually spoken out about and taken a stand about for people to say, this guy contradicts everything you've said before.
We also need to just discuss some funny parts in this Gia piece. So firstly, it was so crazy that she went to the 1975 show that he just randomly, without her knowing, brought Taylor Swift out on stage at in, like, January, or maybe it was later than that. And he said, which started making the rounds when everyone thought they were dating, he said that he wasn't going to kiss anyone. So he kisses fans in the crowd on stage, like, every night. I was like, that, firstly, is feral. Fucking feral. Azealia Banks also, so just going off topic, Azealia Banks put on her Instagram stories, Taylor Swift, that man is going to give you scabies. And I've never seen anything so true in my life. Scabies, that's literally it. It's not even like an STI, it's scabies is what that man has.
Someone in the comments was like, the fact that Azealia Banks hates every single celebrity but loves Taylor Swift needs to be studied. It's true.
Yes. She was like, Taylor Swift, you can do better her. Than this. So funny. But yeah, so in this Gia piece, I mean, firstly, I love, love, love that in this piece, Charlie XCX gets a shout out. Because she's dating the drummer. This is the only reason I know who the 1975 is.
Have you listened to their music? It's so random. I'm like, I don't get it. It's like the most poppy, boppy, like, da-da-da. I'm like, the music is so at odds with how he looks and dresses. I just don't understand it as a phenomenon.
Yeah. So the reason I literally know this band's name, I've never listened to their music, although I probably have heard songs. I couldn't tell you, is because she's been going out with his drummer for a few years. With the drummer. So now she's like, what, hanging out with Taylor Swift? She must just be like, what is happening? And the drummer sounds so much cooler than Matt Healy.
I bet they're like, God, just stop.
Yeah, yes.
He has, yes. Which I actually can relate to, that like smart person at school energy where you just think every single thought that comes into your head is extremely important and you're the first person that's ever thought it and you're like a complete original thinker and that everyone needs to hear it. Whereas 99% of other people are like, yeah, I know that. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And then what does she say? So she said that he took her to, see, this is it as well. He took her to Electric so House, bad. Which is the Soho House spot in Notting Hill that has like negative 45 vibe and is frequented by like fucking Lottie Moss.
Yeah, Lululemon moms with their kids who did get a shout out from Gia.
Yeah, it's such a random place to take a journalist if you think you're, yeah, this edgelord guy.
I just have to think about the logistics of him having his membership card on his phone and saying, one guest, please. Like Gia, like that whole imagining that happening is just so insane to me.
This is gonna not, like 99.9% of the listeners probably don't know about this because this is so niche, but for the 1%, for the 0.1% that do, and for you, although you would have forgotten, remember that Red Scare, the podcast, was who first spoke about all that crazy weird shit I don't want to get into with Gia's parents.
Yeah, she fucking hates them. She hates them.
Yeah. And then Gia is now mentioning them in this profile, which doesn't even feel like she needed to say that, though. She didn't even need to bring them up, and she did. They've got big, big time beef.
Mad.
So that was interesting. What else happened in this piece?
So his parents, he's a Nepo baby as well, which also makes more sense. His parents are like working class hero actors who became very wealthy. His mum was on Coronation Street and now she's on Loose Women, which is so random. And he was sent to a very posh school, but then got expelled and then went to a public school. This all just feels like such self-mythologizing, even though it might just be true.
I know. Okay, actually, we should probably jump off now, but we can continue on.
Yeah.
Patreon. Love you, girlies.
Hi, girlies. Ciao, ciao. Let us know your thoughts on MH. This is the last time we're talking about him.
Yes.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.